Good morning. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And it continues on. Does anyone know what I'm reading from? No, a little bit later than that. The Declaration of Independence. And let's see, I've got another document to read a little bit from. The First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, 1789. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the rights of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Everyone is to be an ambassador for religious liberty. Do you believe that? And why are we as Christians to be ambassadors for religious liberty? Because choice is the true nature of God's character, the true God of the universe, the maker of the universe, the creator of this world. He is the God of choice, the God of liberty. God does not want forced obedience from anyone. And we've got Bible verses to support that. It's John 15:15, Jesus talking to his disciples. John 15:15. Well, I'll read verse 14 as well. I can't help but backing up, and I'm going to read verse 12 to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And then Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father. And the English Standard Version translates that verse this way. Or the Christian Standard Bible. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, or Daddy, Father. And so God doesn't want servants, slaves, etc. He wants people who choose to serve Him, to choose to follow Him because He's a God of choice, because He's a God of love. And so religious liberty, we are, again, all to be ambassadors for religious liberty. All of you have been called to do that. The work of God on this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work. Today we're having a special sermon that was first presented by President Ted Wilson several months ago, which helps us to understand what it means to rally to the work. Every one of you is vitally important in the great proclamation of this message and in the proclamation of the freedom of conscience. Liberty Magazine needs to be sent to thought leaders, and so let us do that. And by the way, this church so far is halfway towards its goal of sponsoring Liberty Magazine to 44 thought leaders in our communities, lawyers, judges, elected officials. And so let us see to doing that, to sponsoring Liberty, and you can do that. You can do that by using your bulletin insert, and you can also get a subscription of Liberty for yourself as well by doing that. And but each of us also is a thought leader. Understand that it's your responsibility to be part of this great and incredibly important important Last Day proclamation. Now is not the time to lessen our influences on religious liberty. Now it is day, but we know that the night is coming. We depend upon attorneys and lawyers, upon legal experts, to help us to find a way through many of the challenges that we face. And we're grateful for dedicated Seventh-day Adventist attorneys, honest, faithful attorneys, people who will defend individuals of all faiths who are facing challenges regarding their work situation and regarding other aspects of religious freedom. It may be as apparently simple as whether to bake a cake or not. I want to focus for just a few moments on a well-known episode in the scriptures involving an attorney and human rights, where religious liberty is a prime focal point. It is a well-known story, but I want you to understand it from a little different perspective today. And so Travis read that, the beginning of that in Luke 10. And starting with verse 25, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him." You know, I'm always amazed to read how Jesus responded whenever he was pushed to the limit. Jesus is surely an example for us. We too are not to lash out at people. We too will be able to respond in direct and powerful ways when we are in connection with him. And President Wilson and I want to urge you to be part of revival and reformation, taking time every day with your own connection with the Lord and the Word of God, taking time to read something out of the Spirit of Prophecy, taking time in personal, private prayer. We will not be saved as groups. We will be saved individually. You will not be saved because your pastor is an eloquent speaker and you enjoyed his rendition of Scripture on a Sabbath day. You will be saved by your relationship with Jesus Christ. And your relationship with Jesus Christ is based upon your interacting with him on a daily basis in the Word of God and through prayer. So, this attorney stood up and tested Jesus. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" he asked. This is a great question, and this question is still being posed to us today. Each of us is a part of total member involvement, doing something for Jesus. We're trying to help people by pointing them to the cross, eternal life. And so Jesus said to the lawyer, "What is written in the law?" Now the attorney, he knew the law. "Well, what is your reading of it?" Jesus asked, turning the challenge back to the questioner, verse 26. So the lawyer answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Verse 27. And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Isn't that a wonderful summation of our calling? You will have freedom if you understand and accept God's commandments. Now here follows one of the words in Scripture that turns up in many different places. It is a reply that often tells us what the heart really is like. In the English, it's a short word, but. Oh, everything's just great. Everything's going really nicely, but. You know, I really like having dinner in our church, but. You know, that church member is really a very powerful person in my life and in the life of the church. But if we cut out that little word in relation to each other and God's church, I tell you, far more would be accomplished. The greatest challenge we face in the Seventh-day Adventist church is not some nuclear holocaust, not some persecution. The greatest challenge we face in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is self. Putting self ahead of God and ahead of others. But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, replied to Jesus, verse 29. He knew what the issue was, but he was trying to be academic. Now I have nothing against academics, but do not hide behind intellectual academic pursuits when you know the truth. The lawyer said, "And who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus answered with a story. Now it's interesting that in the book, Desire of Ages, a great commentary on the life of Jesus, it tells us that this was not a parable. I encourage you to read that chapter. This was an actual story of something that happened. And interestingly enough, the very people whom Jesus was speaking to and about were present in the crowd, in the circle of people. And as Jesus tells the story, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now you can, at a particular point, if you were to go to Israel, there's an overlook where you can view the highway going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is quite high. I didn't look it up. Maybe about 5,000 feet, but it's not on a plain like Eden Valley at the foot of the mountains. It's in the mountains. Jerusalem is. And then Jericho is below sea level. So the highway descends quite a bit, and right now the modern highway is easy and you can go down quickly. But from a certain point you can see the old road going down to Jericho. And it's a desolate place, and you can see where it would be the favorite haunt of thieves. Now it's important for us in the context of human rights and religious liberty to understand that the person waylaid on the way to Jericho was a Jew. This will contrast with the person who helped him. And it says that they stripped him of all his clothing, wounded him, and left him half dead. And as we read in the Declaration of Independence, what is one of our basic unalienable rights? It's life. Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. A priest was a leader in the church, someone entrusted with the care of everyone, and not only spiritually, but physically, mentally, and socially. That is the balance that God gives us. It is following Christ's method alone to reach people physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. That is why pastors ought to know something about good health, physical health. That's why pastors ought to know how to relate to people. And that's why pastors ought to understand that their role is much larger than simply speaking on the weekend or conducting a religious service. They are to train people, to focus them upon the great task that we have in these last days of Earth's history. It is a balanced approach. And so a priest came by. Maybe we could see him as the president of a conference or the president of a union or even the president of the general conference. He came by, but you know, we can become so busy with the meetings and the committees and all our high-level activity that we're involved with that we might miss certain realities. The Bible says that when the priest saw him, he passed by on the other side. By God's grace, may you and I never be too busy such that we pass by on the other side. And then in verse 32, Luke 10, another character appears. Likewise, a Levite. Yes, another leader in the church. Maybe the Sabbath school superintendent. Maybe someone who is a teacher, a Sabbath school teacher or a academy teacher. And when he arrived at the place, he came over and looked. Now, in my mind's eye, I see this Levite coming and he says, "Oh, how terrible. This is a tragedy when we have all kinds of security for this man to have been attacked and left dying on the side of the road. Where are the police? Where is the ambulance? Where is the security? Where are those who will come and take him to the hospital where he can be professionally treated? This man's right, his human rights have been violated. Why isn't someone helping him?" At least the Levite looked on this person, but a sad commentary when it came to actually helping this person with his human rights and his liberties. It says that he looked and passed by on the other side. What an indictment for the church. What an indictment for us if we are not fully in God's hands. Well, the Bible asks, says then that a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, you have to understand something. The Jewish people at that time absolutely, totally hated the Samaritans. Had the Samaritan been in the place of the Jew, there is no way the Samaritan would have been helped by that Jew. But be careful about castigating the attitude of the Jewish people or anyone else, because this story represents me and you. Or you and me, because you becomes, it is proper in English that you becomes before me. So this story represents you and me. The Samaritan came and he didn't stop for a moment and say, "Well, it's not a good situation. I wonder what ethnic group he comes from. I wonder what race he is. I wonder what socioeconomic level this person is from. If I help him, will I get something out of it? Or if I help him, will my own social group shun me?" No, the Samaritan, driven by the power of the Holy Spirit and understanding the fuller concept of true human rights, which is focused upon the Bible, jumped into action and obeyed God's commandments without thinking. What a lesson for us. The Bible says that he treated his wounds, he cared for him, he clothed him, he put his own robe on him, he put him on his own donkey, and he didn't just take him to the inn or the hospital, he even paid for his care and provided for him. You see, you and I are that poor Jewish man on the side of the road, half dead, half naked, without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and in great need of God's power. And Jesus is that Samaritan, the one who was hated and rebuffed. Jesus has stooped to take care of you and me. He's poured the ointment on our wounds. He has helped us to recover. He has put his robe of righteousness upon us, and he has taken us to the church. Not to recover and sit in the church and glory in what we have, but to tell somebody else about it. See, The great challenge today is to not become complacent Laodicea, lukewarm for God, but to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the wonderful book, The Desire of Ages, we are told that this lesson is no less needed today than when Jesus told it to those people. Selfishness and cold formality have well nigh extinguished the fire of love and dispelled the graces that should make fragrant the character. Many who profess His name have lost sight of the fact that Christians are to represent Christ. Unless there is practical self-sacrifice for the good of others in the family circle, in the neighborhood, in the church, and wherever we may be, then whatever our profession, we are not Christians. As Christians, we believe in fundamental human rights for people. As Christians, we understand that it is important to treat people with fairness and respect and provide religious liberty for all. To maintain that, we must be connected to the one who truly can give us the power to be Christians, and that is Christ Himself. Christ is asking you today to be that kind of person. You see, Christ does work in wonderful, powerful ways in the hearts of people. Let me tell you about Tatiana. Tatiana is an attorney, a lawyer, a vice mayor of a Central Asian city in a rather prominent Muslim-dominated country. A Seventh-day Adventist pastor one day came to Tatiana's office, the vice mayor's office, one day and asked for a supply of bricks. In that country, under that system, it was obligatory to go to officials and make request for commodities that you needed, such as bricks. The pastor came asking for his allotment of bricks in order to build a church. And Tatiana said, "I don't have time. Go away. Come back in 3 days." He came back in 3 days. She said, "I still haven't done the research. I don't have time. Go away. Come back again. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, as ambassadors for religious liberty and freedom, don't ever let any official push you away to the extent that you never come back." Our pastor did come back again and made his plea. And because Tatiana didn't want to be bothered anymore, she just said, "Okay, I'm going to sign your form. Get out of my office now. Here's your form for the bricks." Our pastor was happy. He got his bricks and built his church in that Central Asian country. Sometime later, Tatiana's 17-year-old son came to her and said, "Mother, in a few days I'm going to have my birthday. I want you to spend time with me." Tatiana, being a very busy professional, an advocate, an attorney, the vice mayor, she thought, "Well, I'll just give my son some money and let him have a good time on his birthday because I'm so busy." I tell you, brothers and sisters, take time for your children. Respect your children. Respect your spouse. We have a whole other area there of human rights and liberty that we need to focus on in the Seventh-day Adventist Church family. And we should not neglect to do that, as some do. In any case, Tatiana's son said, "No, I want you to spend time with me." And so she finally agreed. So on that particular Saturday, she put on her scarf, went out the door with her son, and as they were walking along, they came to a church. They entered because their son wanted to go in. They entered the church, and Tatiana was so glad that as vice mayor, she had her scarf so she could be hidden somewhat. They sat down in the church. The pastor preached an impassioned sermon about Christ and about giving your heart to him. And Tatiana, the attorney, the lawyer, sat very uneasy. At the end of the sermon, the pastor gave a call for people to come forward if they wanted to give their hearts to Christ and be baptized. Tatiana was shocked to see her son stand up and go forward. And it was his birthday. You see, her son had been attending this church, a Seventh-day Adventist church. In fact, it was the very church for which Tatiana had granted the bricks so the pastor could build his church. And so her son had been attending, and he had been touched by the love of God's people. The son went forward, and he talked with the pastor after the service. He came back and told his mother, "Mother, we're going to a lake now, and there will be a baptism, and the pastor has arranged for me to go there, and he has a place for you to ride as well." "Oh, no, 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 I can't go," she protested. "Please, mother," he begged, "it's my birthday." And so she agreed to go. They went to the lake together, and as he was about to enter the water of baptism, Tatiana saw her son sneak up to the pastor again, and then jumping up and down and running back to her, the son told Tatiana, "Mother, the pastor says that you can be baptized too." Now, this is President Wilson again saying, "I don't know what the son told the pastor, and I don't know what the pastor understood, because that's not the way we usually like to see things done. People need to understand the Word of God. They usually need to understand fully the liberty in Christ and his full message before they make a decision. But somehow God had other plans that day. And Tatiana said, "Absolutely not. I don't even know what this is. You have to believe something and accept it before you are becoming..." You have to believe something and accept it before you are indoctrinated or enter into an organization. But Tatiana's son said, what did he say? "Mother, it's my birthday." And so Tatiana was baptized. They were given two baptismal certificates, and they took them home, and her son hid those certificates because they never wanted his father to find out. You see, in that particular country, if you do something against the wishes or without the knowledge of the father of the home, you are in big trouble. After a while, Tatiana said, "You know, I've been baptized into something. I better find out what it is." She picked up a Bible and began to read it. And as she read the Bible, she fell in love with Jesus. After her baptism, she became a sweet, loving person. You can tell that kind of before, you know, she wasn't a very patient, sweet person, you know, before this, but after reading the Bible, she became a sweet, loving person. Jesus changed her life. The brilliant professional lawyer who knew how to be a vice mayor of the city now became a much humbler and sweeter individual. One day, about 5 months later, her son came into the home and said, "Mother, something terrible has happened. Father has found the baptismal certificates, and he is angry." Tatiana knew that even though she was a vice mayor, that she was facing a very challenging situation with her husband. And so, after the meal that night, she sat down with her husband. Her husband said, "How could you bring such embarrassment upon our home by doing something in such a way that I had no involvement in giving you permission? You know, the Lord has promised you to give you words when you have to face rulers and potentates and governors. He will give you words to say if you are practicing, staying in contact with Him every day. Tatiana received the grace from heaven and gave her response. She said, "My dear husband, you have the baptismal certificates in your hands. You see the dates on those certificates. If since that time I have become a mean individual and an individual who has never shown any kind of sensitivity to anyone, if I have become a worse person, I will leave this religion immediately. But, my dear husband, if you have seen that I've become a sweeter person, a more loving wife, and a more attentive mother, please take that into consideration." There was a long pause, and her husband said, "No, Tatiana, you have become a sweeter person. You have become a more loving wife and mother." Never discount the young people of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Nurture them. Encourage them. Learn their names. Help them to be part of the mission of the church. The son had stood for Christ. He had been the agent of his mother's conversion. And now, not long after that nighttime challenge, Tatiana's husband began reading the book, The Great Controversy, and the Bible, and then accepted Jesus and became a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He and his wife have become pillars in the church in that Central Asian country. So each of us, regardless of our station in life, can be a powerful witness for God. We are not doing the will of God if we sit in quietude doing nothing to preserve liberty of conscience. Whether you are a 17-year-old son or a 77-year-old, all of us are to be part of this great proclamation of Christ's soon coming, of the freedom of conscience and the power of choice that God has given each of us. What a day it will be when Jesus returns. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? We will look up in the sky and we'll see a little cloud appearing about half the size of a man's hand, we're told, an allusion from the story of Elijah, that will get larger and larger and brighter, and soon it will fill the entire sky. All of heaven is to be poured out for this climactic event, and we will look up and say, "Behold, this is our God that we have waited for, the God who has provided us with the freedom of conscience, with religious liberty, and we have chosen to love Him. This is our God whom we have waited for." Those people who are looking up will hear the words of our Lord and Savior as He looks down and says, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Lord," and we will rise into the sky following those who have died in Jesus. What a promise. What a culmination of religious liberty and the choice we have made. Oh, I long to be there on that day. Are you willing, are you wanting to be part of those who will proclaim the wonderful message of Christ's soon coming? He has given you a choice, the freedom of choice, the freedom of liberty to worship as your conscience calls. And let us close, and I'm going to read part of the verse. Let's see, can someone tell me what number is the closing hymn? 645, okay. So faith of our fathers, and as we have read parts of the Declaration of Independence and the First Amendment, I think of the second verse, in faith, God of our fathers, in this free land, by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Let thy word be our law, thy paths our chosen way.